John 19, verses 1 to 16. I come back to this passage again, and this time I won't spend a few minutes, only a few minutes, looking at Pilate. Now, Pilate and Jesus. Jesus and Pilate. Jesus is standing before Pilate here. And Pilate is the one in control, or so it seems. Now remember, Pilate is the representative of Imperial Rome. So here we have the man that stands for power. He stands for law, for justice. And if it were not so serious, this would be the most ironical mixture. Power, law, justice. And we see this incompetent, weak, hopeless, spineless man who is supposed to be administering Roman justice. Let me make the point. Pilate knew throughout that the charge against the Lord Jesus was utterly baseless. There was no ground for it at all. He should have dismissed it out of hand. He knew the motive behind the Jews bringing Christ to him. He knew it was a cooked up, trumped up charge, utterly baseless. He already said that in chapter 18 and verse 38. I find no basis of a charge against him. There is no cause for charging him. Verse 4 in this passage. I find no basis for a charge against him. These words come over and over again. We get it again in verse 6. I find no basis for a charge against him. Well, that's the end of the story, isn't it? That's the end of it, isn't it? Roman might, Roman power, Roman authority, Roman justice, Roman law. This is a baseless charge. Get lost. Take him away. Release him. He himself wanted to release Christ. Verse 12. Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, and because they were shouting, he couldn't let Jesus free. What? Roman might, Roman justice, because Jews are shouting? Who's in control here? It was the custom. He tried that in chapter 18, verses 38 and verse 39, to release a man. He tried that. He wanted to release Christ. He's on the back foot all the time. We know that he flogged Jesus. Had him flogged. Why? Verses 1 to 5. Presenting them, the Jews, with this flogged, humiliated man. Verse 5. Behold the man. Here is the man. Surely that would arouse their pity. Surely they'll say, well, that's enough. You've done it now. You taught him a lesson. No, no, no. This man is desperately trying to get off the hook. He passes the buck. Verse 6. Pilate said, you take him to the Jews and crucify him. I'm free of this. I wash my hands of it, as we know in another place. He did wash his hands of it. Literally. But he can't, of course. He is responsible. He is desperate. Verse 8. He was even more afraid. Don't forget, there's more behind this narrative than we have recorded by John. There's the wife's dreams. There's other things flying in and out of this experience. Pilate has got his back against the wall, and he's desperate. And then he tries to kill himself. Look at the bombast and the bluster of this man. Look at verse 10. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? I can see him strutting about, talking to Christ, tapping his chest. I've got the power. I'm in control here. But the Jews are shouting and you're desperately afraid. He's kidding himself. And he's whistling in the dark. for he doesn't have the power. The Jews do, and they don't have the power. God does. Acts 4, 27 to 28, Acts chapter 2. God, predeterminate counsel, the foreknowledge of God, it was God who handed him over. Of course, all these men are responsible. Pilate, the Jews, the soldiers, they're all the responsible. They've all got to answer for it. But God is in control, not Pilate. As I say, he's a weak man, verse 12. He tried to set Jesus free. He's a frightened man. But the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he went further and further. He is weak. He's weak, and he's playing brinkmanship. He sits on this stone pavement, Gabbatha, and he sits there pretending to have the authority and the rule and the governance. And then at one last row, desperate, shall I crucify your king, verse 15. But in the end, in the ultimate, as it says in verse 16, finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them, the Jews, to be crucified. He handed him over to his own soldiers to do the work. But he was handing them over to the Jews. He would suppress and stifle his fears, his worries, and what he absolutely knew to be the truth, that the charge was utterly baseless. He squirms, he wriggles, he twists. But in the end, he stifles his conscience, stifles the truth, suppresses it, and he hands Jesus over. Of course, he's heard that he's a sinner. Jesus has preached it to him in verse 11. When it's talking about power and authority, Jesus says, it's the one who's handed me over to you. He is the one who is guilty of a greater sin. These Jews are guilty of greater sins than yours. But you are a sinner, Pilate. You are a sinner. In verse 9, though, when he wanted Jesus to speak, challenging him, Jesus gave him no answer. In chapter 18, verse 38, he walked out after making a statement to Christ, or a question, what is truth? A statement, I think. We could say about Pilate that he wouldn't hear. He couldn't hear. And in the end, he didn't hear. He silenced his conscience. He stifled it. And he handed Christ over to be crucified. In the previous discourse, I close by saying, reminding you, that the soldiers will have to one day find their roles reversed, and they will not be standing over Christ then, but be standing before him, and kneeling before him, and confessing that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These trials, you know, all follow a pattern. When we see Paul in the Acts before Agrippa, Festus and Felix, you only have to read the narratives, and you'll see that the man in the dock, Paul, is not really in the dock. The men on trial are Agrippa, Felix, Festus. Pilate's on trial here. And one day all these men will have to stand before Christ. And what a day that's going to be. What a judgment that's going to be. God, though, God is in sovereign control here. He is working his purpose out. These men all bear a tremendous responsibility, carry a tremendous curse. But God in his sovereignty is accomplishing the redemption of his people by the suffering Savior. Pilate. But you know, I haven't been speaking about Pilate, really. I have. But you know who I have been speaking about, my friend? I've been speaking about you. If you're an unbeliever, I've been speaking about you. Romans 1 verse 18 tells me, and on, 18 to the end of the chapter, tells me plainly that you know a great many things, but you stifle the knowledge of God. You will not have it. You refuse to have Christ to reign over you. And you stifle and suppress the knowledge of God. And you push it from you. You will not bow the knee. You will not receive Christ. You squirm. You wriggle. You're frightened. You're weak. You've got your back to the wall. You know the truth. But you finally prefer to hand Christ over. You will not receive him as Lord and Savior. I warn you, my friend. One day you will bow before him and you will not be able to hand him over, but he will hand you over to everlasting judgment, eternal wrath, and misery, and torment. I'm not fooling with you. I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. I'm not pretending. But Jesus, ready at the moment, stands to save you. This man in Pilate's hall is the Savior of sinners. Bow the knee to him now, my friend. Receive him in your heart as your Savior and Lord. Call upon him. Cry out to him to have mercy upon you. And stop stifling Christ and the gospel and the knowledge of God and the truth. Receive Christ now. Do not listen to the shouts of the world. Trust Christ. Do not play the part of Pilate anymore.